He's looking for worshipers who produce something. Come on, Southwest Missouri, you've been called to disciple nations. Worship leaders and worship groups, you have been called to disciple nations. And never has there been a time before when you had such access to nations. With a click of the button, someone can be discipled by what you do. Somebody can tune into your service or watch your song on YouTube, and their life can be forever marked. And God intends for us to position ourselves to become a people to allow His presence to flow through our lives in such a way that redemption begins to work, not just for us, but through us.
Burn in us a passion to make Your glory known. Birth in us something that can shift the atmosphere.
And we declare a shift in the name of Jesus. We declare a divine shift over the atmosphere of Southwest Missouri. A shift away from depression and into hope. A shift away from uselessness into purpose in Jesus' name.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. My name is Clint and I am your host. What if we could create a sound that the world could not ignore? We've all heard stories of famed heroes, giants, and fables where the good guy's famous deed went down into history. Remember the story of David's mighty men? They've gone down in history as some of the greatest warriors ever to have lived. Their feats of bravery hold a certain supernatural quality, and their love and honor for their King David have withstood the test of time. And who can forget about the Battle of Thermopylae, where King Leonidas led a small force against upwards of 100,000 men? Stories of the great courage of those men are still being told today. What could you do if you became a fearless person? What stories are waiting to be written about the things you did while on this earth? The Message translation of Hebrews 12 has this to say about the great ones that have gone before us. Do you see what all this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it, strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how He did it, because He never lost sight of where He was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now He's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story item by item, that long litany of hostility He plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Coming up on May 1st and 2nd is the next Unite Worship Gathering. The Unite Worship Gathering is a 24-hour regional worship event devoted to an extended period of vertical worship and building community. Some slots are still available. To find out more about the Unite Worship Gathering, go to uniteworshipgatherings.com. On this week's podcast, we have a conversation with CJ Drummeller. CJ owns a production company in Kansas City, Missouri called Follow Happy Productions. CJ and I have a conversation about some of his recent work in the film industry and also about creating a culture of creativity. If you enjoy this podcast, give us a review on iTunes and spread the word. As always, thanks for listening and enjoy my conversation with CJ Drummeller.
Fueling leaders of heaven's invasion.
Let the spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in, rushing in. Let the spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in. Come rushing in.
All right, CJ, thanks for sitting down with me.
No problem.
Hey,
we have been friends for a long time, and I was totally captivated by your work and your music, your musicality and your creativity. I know your history and what you're doing now, doing some amazing things. So a lot of people listening to this aren't going to know you or what you're doing. So for the sake of just a little backstory, tell us kind of what area you work in and how you do it. Maybe some of the clients you've worked with too.
Okay, sure. I currently work out of Kansas City, Missouri, and I run a production company called Follow Happy Productions. And basically, I focus on anything film-related, audio-wise, or at least for this season, I'm pretty focused on film, sound, composing for film, and basically anything that has to do with audio. The last few movies that I've worked on, I've actually done the complete audio process from capturing it on set and go all the way into the post production of the audio. So it'll go from, you know, the set to into the studio to scrubbing the dialogue to sound designing all the sound effects and everything like that into composing, and then also into the final surround sound print masters, or the export of the final thing that goes to theaters and also to distribution for Blu-ray. Background wise, I really have done a ton of music. I played music all my life. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, kind of enjoying the wave of whatever production comes along, and really enjoying it, having a good time with
it. Let's name drop a little. You've worked with some pretty cool clients.
I guess let's see what's some of the cool ones that I've worked with. Everybody knows Chris Daughtry. I worked with him once.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
And pretty much most of the networks on TV, I worked with them. And just recently we got done shooting a feature film with Kevin Kilner, who is he was in House of Cards and some other bigger movies, and he was fun. The cool thing for me on him was he was actually the voice actor, or one of the big voice actors in Call of Duty, the video game. So it was they flew him to Afghanistan and stuff to do all that. But he's kind of a fun one. And then it was fun. I just got off a shoot where the director was the bad guy on Karate Kid 1. So it was kind of, I didn't know until afterwards, or I would have, you know, totally gotten a picture with him or something. But the guy was like, "Hey, you know, that guy was the mean kid in Karate Kid 1. I was like, "Oh man, my claim to fame has grown. Now I really have something to go with." So, but no, it's a fun time. We work with a lot of people. Pretty much most of the indie film in Kansas City, I'm usually a part of in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So that's kind of that part of it. I don't know. Nothing else comes to mind that would be a great claim to fame. But I've worked with some Gillette or Glett, you know, some bigger
the Razor people,
the Razor people, and who else? Oh, I don't know. It's hard to remember them all. Yeah. I usually work around probably anywhere between 5 and 10 projects a week, usually.
Oh my gosh.
While at the same time working on the bigger projects like the feature films and stuff. So not only will I do like feature film mixing, print masters for, you know, like the long movies, but also I work for a lot of smaller clients that'll do, or not smaller clients in size, but more like, they'll do shorter projects that are like 3 minutes, you know, three minutes long, ads, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So stay busy. I do probably do about between 60 and 80 hours of audio a week, usually on average, probably.
You are a boss.
I don't know about that. I am persistent, but I'm persistent and I love doing it. So stay pretty buried in it, and I don't know that there's anything I'd change about that, you know.
We were listening, you know, whenever you and I get together, we always like to talk about creativity. Mm-hmm. And then you like always play the latest things you're listening to that's stretching your imagination and your capacity for creativity. And you even played me some stuff off of your SoundCloud account today that, you know, impacted me in the same way. I'm like, oh man, that just really struck me as so awesome. You know, of course you do a lot of MIDI stuff. I'm geared more, you know, in the guitar realm, and sure. I love being stretched by the things that you do. Yeah. I think that's one of your greatest traits. I can't wait to see some of your musicality come to light, and maybe, I don't know, you can do some really sweet composing for some bigger films and stuff in the future. But yeah. I thought we could take this time and man, just talk to us about creativity and getting out of the box. You know, we were created to be creative. So just talk about that and tell us what you're thinking about.
I think for me, a long time, you know, like obviously I grew up in a very structured, or not structured family, but more like we were, my dad was a pastor, you know, and ever since I was, you know, I guess it would have been 6-ish, like my dad was a pastor and he's been a pastor since. And so I learned everything I know about audio. Like some of my first toys and stuff were playing around with the old Natty microphones that, you know, those old things, old school. Yeah. Playing with little sound systems and stuff in our living room. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I developed my love for audio and the things like that. And started, you know, playing in band, you know, what an incredible experience for a child to be able to grow up and play in bands when they're 13 years old, yeah. like every weekend, of course, you know, for church or whatever it is, but like even the experience of just that young. And I would say, like, you see like these kids that are growing up in whether it's a charismatic church or whatever, but like they're singing, you know, every weekend and compared to kids that don't,
right,
you know,
totally.
And it's just something that kind of gets implanted. So that kind of happened to me. And I grew up and all those songs, you know, that were, you know, like that. But I think as I grew, I grew out of, you know, my kind of teenage years, I started to really become, I guess, I don't know if it was frustrated or a bit of, I don't know, I guess frustrated is a good word, because it's just got tired of the system that we use for maybe whatever, like to write a song or to do our expression of, whether it's an expression of worship or even if we narrow it down to just an expression, you know, like in music, like I feel like that is what music is. It's an expression, you know, it's an emotion that we're trying to express or a story that we're trying to tell, you know, like that type of stuff. So I started to, you know, I kind of got into a little more jazz type stuff or even kind of different influences that would really stretch my brain as far as musically to break out of, you know, our, you know, the 1-4-6-5, you know, or whatever the current, you know, established key or the chord progression or even time signatures. So I went through a time to where I would just, I'd force myself to play in 5-4 and I would just play it until I could play it like it was 4-4, you know, like I could think in that pattern. One of the fun things about the time signatures thing is I basically, you know, I would think about, you know, like songs for church or songs for, like spiritual songs or whatever that I was trying to be a part of. And my big thing is like whatever, you know, when there's no time, you know, like in heaven or whatever, like, like how do you, you know, if the place is supposed to be filled with so much music and all this is supposed to be happening, but there's no time. So there's, in essence, no way to measure a time signature.
Wow.
And there's no way to think of, about measuring your sound by vibrations. You know, a sound is all vibration, you know? So it's like, and everything, you know, it's a fun concept to think about when you're thinking, you know, no time, no vibration, you know, like when a guitar string hits, it's a vibrating and all sound waves are just a vibration, you know? So it's when you picture it, and this is kind of what where it kind of hit home for me is like when you picture that noise or whatever it is, it's not a measurement. It's just an expression, or it's something that just happens. I sometimes when I'm trying to write a song or whatever, I picture it as like some of those modern artists that just will throw paint at a wall.
Oh,
you know, it's just instantaneous. Yeah. It's there. Then everybody's like, oh, look at that beautiful art, you know, whatever it is. But I try and, after years of being so clean cut and trying to follow within the pattern or the chord patterns and all this stuff to do that, I just got to a place where I was like, you know what? I'm going to let music be the expression that it's supposed to be. And whether that follows the rules of, you know, a set chord pattern or a set time signature, and let it be that, and let it be the creative thing that it's supposed to be.
So I think, you know, part of the thing you're speaking to and you know, creativity is such a fulfilling and frustrating thing at the same time be. And we, especially in America and the Western world, we are really, you know, we really put ourselves in these unseen borders where, you know, whatever's mainstream. So like... Yeah. If you're a worship leader, or if you're just, you know, no matter what genre you're dabbling in, you tend to compare yourself to mainstream.
Yeah.
So, what could you say to somebody, like maybe even practically, that's so frustrated because they're not doing mainstream well, and what's inside of them is not, that's coming out is not mainstream? What could you say to them to kind of help them break out or be comfortable with what's happening?
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, I guess what I would say is, you know, the creative isn't measured by good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're being creative, you're being creative, you know, and like,
in that
sense of it, like if you feel like your job is to be a musician or a writer or whatever, your job is to create, and, you know, and I find that, like, even myself, like, I'll write a song, and I'll be like, when I'm listening to it, I'm like, oh man, this is not good, you know, and I'll throw it in the trash can, mm-hmm. you know, and then I'll come back the next day and listen to it, and I'm like, oh man, like this could actually be used for something, you know, like uh-huh. like the I guess to encourage people in the idea that when you create something, your number one biggest criticism is going to happen in your own brain.
Yeah.
You know, and that happens immediately. And I think that so much gets squelched by just people being like, oh, I can't, no, that's too weird, or that's too out there, or whatever. But also, I think that even the ones that, so like you have a full mainstream music thing that's happening, mm-hmm. you know, and it's there for a reason, you know. It's like the songs are accessible, the chord progressions are accessible, you know, they're, you know, obviously good songs, good rhyming patterns, or mm-hmm. whatever it is. But there's a whole subculture of people that are just dying for something new and fresh. Yeah. Like there's a whole that's group so good. Of people. Yeah. That are just waiting, you know, for that person to do it. And you know what? You might be a folk singer that plays with a banjo, whatever, and that might be, you know, but like, and you want to break out and do something creative with your banjo and your folk singing, you know? And like, there is a whole culture that's just waiting for that. Kind of when I was getting excited, kind of the stuff that you guys are talking about, like with creating a culture of creativity.
Yeah.
Like there's no more exciting job than to create something from nothing. If you're called, you know, if you're called to be a songwriter or whatever, you are literally taking, you know, nothing that you can hold in your hands, and you're turning it into something that can impact people's lives. Right. You know, or whether it's, you know, a story or a song or whatever it is. And but to not only, you know, to be okay with, like, for me, okay, so an example of where I've come in the last just even a couple of years, like when I would sit down to compose or whatever, I would always think of songs within the keys or within the sounds or whatever it is. And once I stepped back and started to think about, I'm not trying to make a sound. I'm trying to make an emotion,
uh-huh.
or I'm trying to make an expression.
Yeah.
That for me took, you know, and I've done, you know, the theory and all that stuff. I've got all the theory stuff that I know how to do. But when I took that step to say, I'm not just making music, I'm making really almost noises to inspire emotion, or yeah. to paint a picture for someone. Yeah. To where I could bend between notes sometimes, you know, yeah. and like some of the songs that I love the most are the ones that have those elements that float between the lines of what's structure and what's chaos,
yeah.
you know,
yeah, yeah.
and to let it happen, you know, record it, you know, record it and come back to it in a couple weeks. And you might not be as crazy as you think you are, you know. Actually, usually almost 100% of the time, I when I'm like, I sit down to write, I'll write something. I'm like, this is going to be crazy. This is going to blow people's minds with how, you know, different it is. Uh-huh. And I'll record it. I'll put it out there, and I'll come back to it. I'm like, I should have been way more daring. It would have been so much yeah. cooler. It would have been so much cooler if I would have went ahead and thrown that synth, you know, into chaos mode, and you know, and like, you know what? Some people aren't going to like it. You know, some people aren't going to like that stuff. But you know what? I don't want everyone to like it. You know, like yeah. there's some people, you know, like if they don't like it, that's fine. It wasn't written for them. You know, it was written as an expression. And you know what? If you don't like an expression, you know, like what are you going to do? You know, it's like, what do you do about a dislike expression?
Uh-huh.
That's just when somebody's just saying what they're trying to say. So So I don't know. Don't want to get too deep into it, but that's kind really of some good. Of the thought processes that I have when I'm trying to stay fresh, you know, and not get burned into a hole.
Yeah.
And even if, you know, some of those things stay on the back burner, to have that outlet of okay, I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to shut off the lights. I'm not going to look at the keys that I'm playing. Mm. I'm just going to hit record and just start making some noise, you know, to just turn on that outlet of to break out of the box a little bit creativity wise. And listen to a lot of jazz.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Like, well, modern jazz stuff,
Let's wrap it up. So what's the last thing you listen to?
The last thing I listen to? Yeah. Well, actually, we listened to B.B. King a little bit today.
Okay, before that.
Let's see. So before that, I jumped on SoundCloud, and I've got a big mix of a lot of drum and bass, which is a genre that I've never listened to before. But yeah, it's what I'm finding inspiration from right now.
Okay.
And it's totally different than anything I've produced, and I'm just loving it. You know, it's got that weird time signatures and some stuff that's just, you know, making my brain expand.
And if you're going to turn off all the lights and hit record, what's your go-to instrument?
Oh man. If I'm going to hit record, let's see. I mean, I'm probably going to play. Well, can I bring my computer and my USB?
Yeah.
I'll probably play something on Omnisphere, the plugin. And just grab my Moog synthesizer and play until the neighbors are concerned, I guess.
Awesome. Thanks, CJ.
Yeah, no problem.
You've been listening to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. All music played during the conversation portion of this podcast was written and recorded by CJ Drummiller.